Okay, go to hurry. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna. Hare Hare. Hare Rama. Hare Rama. My request is that you try what you learned the morning. Rama Rama Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Krishna Hare Krishna Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna.
Together, please. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, I would like to welcome you to this afternoon session. We have learned this morning a little bit about the need to chant in relationship. And then in the morning session we have tried to connect by the simple meditational process which Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives in Harinam Chintamani. His simple process involved three steps. That is to, first of all, center ourselves in a understanding who we are. You know, I said a little bit, you need to disconnect from all other relationships and come to the level of the unfettered soul. Unconditioned, in that sense that you understand, yes, I am really a part of Krishna. Then the second step was to move towards an understanding of Lord Krishna. You are very small, infinite small, and then you focus your mind on your unlimited Master, the Lord, and immediately go forward to really understand that this is the whole idea of you being in this world, to again come into this relationship. We made exercises, meditational exercises and everything, and then had a wonderful, wonderful session together. I must also tell you now, before I go into another exercise with you, that I really could see this morning, and also now as you were chanting, that you are slowly coming into a place which is extraordinary for you. Not ordinary, in other words. It's something you are obviously capable of moving into. It is a place which you are knowing how to inhabit this place, but still in the hectic and the up and down of our life, it may be that we are not always in that place. Giriraj Maharaj told us yesterday in the association of devotees who are sincere, Sangat Sanjayate Kama, we develop these victorious desires to move forward. I would now like to do something which I really love doing with an audience. It's more or less, I feel, a subtle surgery. No, don't worry. What surgery? I'm out of here. It's something which helps us a little bit more to appreciate the sound of the holy name. I just like to do this very, very, very brief. It's something to wake us up and make us experience really sound. See, this afternoon session has been termed a little bit more technical than the first one, the first two sessions. What was it? From the throat to the heart. Throat to the heart. You find in Christian theology the Jesus prayer. Have you heard about this? Jesum Christum Kyrie Eleison. It's a book, The Way of the Pilgrim, the constant prayer. Yes, it's a concept which has gone, has taken a lot of familiarity. It's somehow you practice this prayer together with your heartbeat, and as you practice linking the prayer and the rhythm of the prayer to the heartbeat, you are actually binding the prayer onto the most essential part, that is the heart. And even when you are asleep, since the heart will continue to beat, ping, 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 the prayer will go on in your subconscious. Now, this concept is borrowed from a deeper concept, and which goes much further back, which I would like to just present to you so that you know how rich the tradition in which you have taken your sacred vows is, and then go quickly into the devotional line. See, we are called the Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya, and what I will bring to your attention now is a concept of the of Madhvacharya. He says each one of us chants each day subconsciously 26,000 times a mantra. Would you like to know the mantra? Rukmini is saying subconsciousness, but a mantra was it's very interesting. All of us have 26,000 breaths a day. Somehow they counted this. I guess it was not the breath of a New Yorker or a modern or a person from North Carolina, because they are a little bit more hectic. They will chant a little bit more this mantra. But the mantra is, as you inhale, it makes a little. As you exhale, it makes a. The mantra is hum. Can you hear it on your modern recording device? Yes, Manu also hears. Hamsa. And what the devotees do, they understand this is the super soul, the swan on the lake, who is associating with the other swan on the lake, that is the individual soul. The Bhagavatam, you must be knowing, in the story of Puranjana, it says the heart is like a lake, and since time immemorial, two swans are flying or floating on that lake of the heart, that is the individual soul and the super soul. A word for the it's in the scholars will say the mystical Ganta. Ganta? No? Ganta? Ganda, yes. Ganda, not Ganta, yes. Mystical Ganda. That is it's like a swan. It's a swan from olden times, from the Manasarova. It's that's the Lord in the heart. And when you become aware, so every one of us naturally, this is Madhvacharya, glorifies the Lord in the heart as Hamsa. The foolish Mayavadis, little religious polemic now, have turned the syllables around and say, I'm that, but that's very unfair. That is a very gross interpretation of that devotional mantra which every one of you chants. And I have heard this mantra chanted, been chanted very loudly by Yajna Purusha Prabhu in the Brahmacharya Ashram after the morning breakfast. I have personally heard it, and we have recorded it, and we play it in our Japa retreats in Europe as a solid proof, but we have not mentioned your name because yeah. He goes a little bit like this. He has made an Ostfriesische interpretation of this mantra. Hamsa. On an inhale, ham. On an exhale, sa. That's every one of us is born a devotional entity who glorifies the Lord. That's the understanding. By our breathing, we go through this world and we worship the Lord. The Christians have made this the prayer of the heart or the way of the pilgrim. But this tradition of binding the mantra to a natural function is coming really from the ancient traditions in India, where the breathing, which is even supposed to be more life-giving than the heartbeat, it's more essential, because in the breathing we find prana, the presence of the Lord, breathing us. We the living entity worship our Lord. In Jap, this is the original Jap. The original japa of all of us. So, I would like to now request you to sit tall. This is just an experiential learning exercise. We will go somewhere, don't worry. We won't stay in the Madhva Sampradaya. We will soon be in the Gaudiya Sampradaya. But it's a family for us, a distant family. So please let us just experience this for a while. I request you. It can be a very powerful exercise if we chant this mantra now. I request you that we all chant in union. Let me see if my orchestra here is in tune. So what we will do is we will breathe in, and as we breathe in, we will mentally pronounce the syllable hung. And as we exhale, we will mentally produce the syllable sa. And as we do this, this is the most important thing, we will turn to the Lord in the heart, who is there with us since time immemorial. I will do it for you first, and then I will give you a sign, and then we all chant. When you hear this sign, it's time for you to start. I will exaggerate. But we don't do it that loud, we will do it. Make contact with the Lord in the heart. Some of you who don't have that consciousness in place, please put your consciousness on the syllables and on the space of the heart. It's very important for what comes afterwards. There's only a preparation. Okay, 20 seconds more. Oh, these are the best cuddles I've ever seen in this life. They're so alive. It's amazing. So, chanting in the tradition of Japa, in the original scriptures of the Madhva, when it comes to this mantra, is something very natural as breathing. That's the idea. Other Gaudiya Vaishnavas have placed another mantra into this, which I'm reluctant to say public, because I don't know if you will follow it, but those who want to know it can ask me after the class. So, the idea is really to bring the mantra into something like, you could say, an existential experience. And I would now like to do with you a devotional step-by-step process where you bring the mantra into your whole existence. There is a book by Bhaktivinoda Thakur which some of you, I'm sure, have read, Harinam Chintamani. You are familiar? It's really the book on chanting. I have with me two versions of the book. The first is translated by Sava Bhavana Prabhu, who did a very good job in translating it into English prose. However, I must admit that I could only really understand it when I saw a verse-by-verse translation of Harinam Chintamani, done by another translator. It's a little bit what Bhaktivinoda Thakur intends to teach when you see it so close to the Bengali text and you can refer it back to the Bengali text, and because we do know a lot of Sarubhasha Bengali from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. I mean, we means all of us. We have been grown up with these scriptures, and it's really a guideline how to chant Japa. It's really a must for all of us. And I somehow think that when we teach higher levels, we might as well just read the book and explain it. That would be something very interesting for those of us who are a little bit, I don't know, want to go very deep into the scripture. For this session, I would just like to take you through the steps which he has done. It starts by a conviction. A conviction. I don't know who put this belief here, but you should believe, says Bhaktivinoda Thakur, that the name and the named are identical. Divyambara, was this you who put the belief there? Or was it before there? It was here. From time immemorial. This is how you start on Shraddha. You may not have noticed it it as effect as of yet. You may just say, Nam Prabhu, may he appear, and find it's something chic to say that a whole Nam Prabhu is identical with Krishna. But this is really how you start your journey. It's not something only chic to say. You must be convinced that the name and the named are identical. Gives us a process. While we chant, we look at the form of the Lord, and we just gaze on the form of the Lord until in some ways the name and the form become one. And I would like that we just do this for a little bit in one mantra. I think you like to chant on your own, isn't it? I also like very much. So let us do Kosha Rupa Prabhu. I feel so simultaneously absolutely fascinated that you have come. Do you? Are you comfortable in that position? Oh, I understand everything because I thought you were. Despondent, good. I can understand, yes, sometimes they're sneezing, that is also there. But we don't mind your enlightened sneezing, it is not a problem. And soon the herbs will come, then everything is over. So, can you please do this? It is said, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, to be convinced that the name and the named are identical. That's how you start. Then you try to achieve constancy in chanting and remembering the holy name. That is, you chant and you have to think of the holy name, and you have to do this if you reject the 10 offenses. But let's make it easy. He says, pronounce the holy name clearly and distinctly. Then, when your chanting is clear, steady, and blissful, meditate on the Lord's Shyama Sundara form. Engage your hands in counting the names on your beads, and again direct your mind and tongue to the name of Krishna. Then with your spiritual eye, you will be able to clearly visualize the Lord's form. Alternatively, sit in front of the Lord's deity of Sri Sri Radha Nilamadava, and drink in the beautiful sight of the Lord with your eyes, while simultaneously chanting and meditating on the holy name. So we will do this now. I will give you a few commands from Harinam Chintamani as you chant. This, just for a moment, listen. It will be just like a flash so fast. And then do what I have said to you, and you will see something wonderful happening. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Kindly stop and now think how the name of Krishna, which you will now chant, and Krishna are identical, and chant in that space. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama. Please make an effort to pronounce the holy name clearly and distinctly. This is the second step. Clearly and distinctly. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Please continue to chant as I will now take you to the next step in Harinam Chintamani. Please turn your attention for a moment on your hands as they are counting the names on your beads. No, continue to chant. Please don't stop. Attention goes to the fingers of the hands as you are counting the names on your beads. Now the next step is that again and again direct your mind and tongue to the name of Krishna. Always, when your mind drifts off, bring it back. Bring it back to the name of Krishna. You know, this all is meant to make you present, to make you connected, to take you out of the automatic and mechanic zone into being present to what you do. The next step. No, continue, continue. It's very important that you continue. Aim for three qualities in your chanting. Your chanting should be clear. Clear from all mental barriers. Steady. And listen to this. It should be blissful. Chant blissfully, please. The Sanskrit word is ulasa. Ulasa means with joy. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare. Please continue to chant. Now Bhaktivinoda Thakur says something very important. Sit in front of the Lord's deity and drink in the beautiful sight of the Lord with your eyes while simultaneously chanting and meditating on the holy name. So three things. Drink with your eyes the beauty. Continue to chant and meditate. This, and please do it, because soon I will ask you to close your eyes and do something else. So you first need to do this. Now, continue to chant, please. Now as you are chanting steadily and hopefully blissfully the holy name and drink as you're drinking the beauty of the Lord, I request you to sometimes close the eyes and visualize the Lord as He's standing before you or in a different way. The idea here is visualize. Whenever the picture disappears, you can look again. Open your eyes. The idea is to make the name and the form one through this meditation. Maybe your favorite deity will come. Maybe you have another preferred Ishta Devata. Continue to chant. Now let go of all techniques and just listen. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare. Kindly relax all techniques, just listen. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare. Excellent, really excellent. This is a very good vibration which comes from you. I'm amazed, I'm sweating. It's so intense, it's your microwave-like chanting. I would like to read to you these are all different ways of trying to establish a relationship or contact. I prefer this to the merely yogic way to align your body and bring your throat chakra together with the heart chakra. I have not really read this in devotional literature, but for absolute new beginners, we teach this on level 1 and level 2, how to bring yourself, so to say, into a space where the sound can flow and the experience. But really, let us be very careful to not mix the process of bhakti too much with the process of yoga. You can do unlimited the things there. And I've always noted that in our ISKCON culture, where things happen sometimes by chance, someone introduces something and then it becomes almost like a thing to do. But a thing to do is really what we learn here in Harinam Chintamani. And I would like to now read to you the verses from which we have extracted this practice. And I think you will find joy in your heart, and you will then know a little bit what you just did. Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes, "Someone who sits down somewhere alone to chant with deep faith in the oneness of the name and the named receives the mercy of the holy name in a very short time, and the Lord appears to him in his form as Syama Sundar." This is from chapter 15 in Harinam Chintamani. So from this we can understand that it is apparently very useful to sit somewhere alone and chant. And this chanting should be done with deep faith that the name and the named are one. This faith should be there. Believe. That's a very nice Divyambara that we have found this belief here. Radha, yes. And then the Lord will show His mercy and appear to the chanter in His form as Syama Sundar. Now then, when the Lord's name and form become one in a devotee's practice, the devotee then constantly sees the Lord's form in the heart as he chants. After some time, so this is, therefore I sincerely recommend you to do what Prabhupada told his new devotees. He said, sit down before the deity and then chant while looking at the deity. This is very, very good practice. I personally have a tape of Prabhupada where he speaks. I have not seen it in the folio, but it is on tape. Some tapes didn't make it in the folio. Maybe I should send it to the devotees. That would be good. And there, in North Carolina, you are asking why we all have our arch in the city reminds us everything is in North Carolina, and also the BBT devotees with the archives and everything. So their Prabhupada speaks to some very disappointed devotees. You know, they are really, you can hear, they really are on the low mental platform. They are, oh, Prabhupada this and that. The Prabhupada says, you now hear me. You go before the deities and you chant. And then the devotee says, but Prabhupada, then the temple commander will come and engage me in service. Then you say, Prabhupada says, no, Prabhupada has said, I can sit here and chant and afterwards get my prasadam. So, you know, this is Gaudiya practice. You sit before the deity or a picture before your deities and then you chant and then you get it. It's about a relationship. You chant to them. Remember in Delhi, our Giriraj Maharaj reported how Prabhupada once asked, but Prabhupada, how should I chant? And Prabhupada said, you chant just like you address me now. You speak to Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And so on. It's about a relationship. So after some time, you have the name and the form, realizations of the Lord's virtues is added, and the devotee also relishes Krishna's qualities while chanting the holy name. This means while you chant, you think, oh, Krishna is so merciful. Krishna is so bhaktavatsala. He's a friend of his devotees. And you chant about these, you remember while you chant his qualities and bring it all into one thing, you know, it's like cooking a sabji. You then the potatoes, then the carrots, then the herbs, then the, already there, my cooking skills leave me, you know, but you know what I mean. You bring it together and you make it one and you relish. After some time, realization of the Lord's virtues is added, and the devotee also relishes Krishna's qualities while chanting the name. In a very short time, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, the Lord's name, form, and qualities are seen as one preparation, one thing. And as the devotee chants the holy name, all three manifest themselves to him. And then he goes really into the detail. He says, this now is the still picture meditation. You know, it is called Mantra Dhyan Mayi Upasana. The still picture. You see. But then after some time, you remember the Leelas and the whole, the name begins to flow. And that is the more elevated state of Krishna consciousness, where that Leela meditation comes in. We will not do this, we will not teach this here, because we feel it is beyond level 3, and that is not good to do too much at once, and so on. Bhaktivinoda Thakur has written a very nice meditation in his Gitavali. He says, all glories to the meeting of the divine young couple. You can now look as I read it to you on the altar, please, because there's a meeting going on. All glories to the meeting of the divine young couple, Sri Sri Radha Nila Madhava. The gopis headed by Sri Lalita performed the aratik ceremony for their lordships. The threefold bending form of Krishna attracts even the mind of Cupid, what to speak of the mind of level 3 devotees. He is dressed, well, the meditation is, in yellow silk garments, and his enchanting crown is decorated with peacock feathers. On the left side of charming Lord Madhava, Sri Radha, the daughter of Brishabhanu, is seated. She is dressed in blue garments. Her beauty and qualities are simply glorious. O Radha is decorated with various brightly shining ornaments. Her charming bright face attracts the mind of Lord Hari. The gopis headed by Vishakha sing the glories of their lordships in various tunes as the Priyanama gopis offer them chamaras. With a desire to attain the lotus feet of Sri Sri Radha Nila Madhava, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur floats on waves of ecstasy as he chants the holy name. Yes, very first class poesy, very first class feelings are expressed. Very first class. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. This is the goal. It's sometimes good to speak about the goal. Let us now speak about where we are. Let us take home from this day that chanting is done in a sincere attempt to connect with Radha and Krishna. This sincere connection, I'm trying to connect with you. I'm trying to connect with you. Can you hear me? Can you hear me? This is the idea of chanting with a sense of relationship. I want to thank you very much, and now we will hear Yagya Purusha Prabhu. I must really say I'm sorry, Janasiddhi. I was this morning so much on the roll that I rolled over everything, including the schedule. But tomorrow it will not happen. Yes. Yes. Rukmini, yes.
So Bhaktivinoda Thakur is talking about chanting in a blissful mood, joy.
Mm-hmm.
And but then in other places he says to chant with an anguished heart.
Mm-hmm.
So how does one chant? How are those two rectified? The anguished heart full of lament with heart-rending lamentation.
There are two moods. Yeah. Yes. Rukmini points out that there are two orders by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. One is to chant with ulasa, with joy, another to chant with heart-rending lamentation, anguished. So how to reconcile this? Well, there are really two moods in devotional, in the spiritual world, the meeting of Radha and Krishna is always done in two ways. There's one where they experience vipralamba, separation, and another modus of the divine pastime is where they experience sambhoga or union. And these two modi of the divine lila are compared with two banks of a river. Sometimes the majority of water is on the left side or left bank of the river, and then it changes courses and is on the right side of the river. For instance, when you stand in New York at the pier, you will see that the Hudson water comes with such a force. I mean, it's a real impressive river, the Hudson. I studied it a few days ago. I was looking at the Hudson. It's on one bank. It's a really on one bank and not on the other. On the other bank, it might be still the water, not so forceful, but on this one bank, that is the Manhattan Island, you know, where the World Trade Center stood and all. There, it really comes with force. But then the Hudson changes and is also at another, the other embankment, which would be more in the New York terms, let me say, the Brooklyn side, and that side, it again comes there. So the divine pastimes also moves sometimes like this, from vipralamba, separation, to sambhoga. The devotee of Lord Krishna, when he chants, moves also in these two ways. Bhaktivinoda Thakur has, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, in one comment to the 11th canto, is describing how the devotee of Krishna sometimes feels very, very far away from Krishna. And he feels Krishna has left him. He feels really Krishna has left him. And it's a, mind you, this is not the dull mechanic chanting of someone who thinks, when is Prasaram, Prabhu's, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. No, no, he really feels, oh, Krishna. Hare Krishna. And he really expresses this. But at other times he feels, the devotee feels, Krishna is so merciful. Krishna is allowing me to chant. Krishna is so, and he feels fulfilled. He feels, in the beginner states, he feels Krishna so merciful. He allows me to chant his holy name. I'm chanting the holy name. I'm sitting here with the devotees. And as some of you have expressed, I feel so privileged. Some of you have said like this. And that is expressed by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. So both these moods, meeting and separation, are expressed in the Leela, but it seems that this mood reflects also into the mind of a devotee who sometimes feels the pangs of separations and at other times a joyful thinking of Krishna. And I think we all know that. It's within our experience. Sometimes we feel very much separated, but at other times we feel very rewarded and very, very nice. Yeah, yes, Mother Rukmini. Thank you for your... But let us see, your facial expression says that there is a second question coming.
That was a beautiful answer. I was just... Then I was
Oh, it's a different question. Oh, then we must give. Soon we will return to you. Yes, Yagya Purusha Prabhu. What is your follow-up question, please? Lamentation. That's how it.
Is it always exclusively in context of separation and samboga, or could it also be just like an anguish?
Yeah. Yeah, there are many, many moods in prayer, and there is one work which has identified 10 moods of prayer. The question of Yagya Purusha is that feeling of lamentation and anguish only related to the feeling of vipralamba, or could this be linked with other feelings? Yes, there are other feelings in prayer. Dainya Bodhika, for instance, which is a feeling of total, the feeling of being wretched, actually. Wretched. Also, there is a feeling of bona fide humility, and this feeling of humility has four causes. One cause is that one feels one has committed offenses. And one feels very... feels very humble. Aparari, mera aparari, I'm such a aparari. There are other feelings of which give rise to humility. And I think there must be... somewhere. It would be very interesting. To hear this for those of us who are born in Europe, in America. We are not so humble by nature. The feeling of having disappointed Krishna. So there are many, many types of feelings when you chant. But it is said very precisely, when you want to chant the Maha Mantra, the best feeling is to feel separated from Krishna. That's how you enter the good mood, by feeling, in Mahaprabhu's mood, Ayinanda Tanuya, I'm your lost servant, really. I'm now in the material world, in the oceans of the water. And then you feel like this. This is what Mahaprabhu taught all sadhakas in this world, to feel the separation. Yes, Prabhuji. What is your good name? What is Dulal Chandra. Hare Krishna Dulal Chandra Prabhu. Yes, please ask.
Is this related also to the qualification of the devotee?
Mm-hmm.
In other words, two different types of separation. One is there's never really been never advanced to a stage of having an intimate vision of even Krishna, except through preliminary stage. And another separation where there's actually been a true realization.
two stages of...
Is that there also?
Yes, there are four different types of vipralamba, of separation. One is when you have been When you are with Krishna and in the Leela, and Krishna disappears momentarily. It says when Krishna and the cowherd boys go through the forest of Vrindavan, and Krishna passes by a tree, the cowherd boys are like, my God, where is he? You know, they can't see him for the brief moment of where he is behind the tree, and they become highly irritated. Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? And then, there he is again. Then there is separation when the beloved is in a far distant place. This was experienced by the residents of Vrindavan when Krishna left them and went to Mathura. We hear that they became like pictures in a painting, you know, like figures in a painting. They just stood there, stultified. Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda Mai were not eating any longer anything. There were cobwebs in their kitchen because they just couldn't cook and prepare. It is described when after 100 years Krishna returned, they engaged one Brahmana was engaged from another house to cook for Krishna, because no cooking went on for 100 years in that dysfunctional kitchen of Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj. So that's after a long time. Sorry, that is when the beloved is far, is away, has really gone, not just momentarily. And then there's a separation which we can feel, because obviously we are not here in the Leela, and I think your question alerts to this. That is called the Purvaraga. Purvaraga is a feeling that when you have heard about Krishna, and then you are anticipating and yearning for a meeting, and you have not yet seen him, then he comes. And the example is Rukmini, who has heard so much from Narada Muni. As a young girl, Narada Muni was regularly received in the court of her father, Bhishmaka, isn't it, if I'm correct, Bhishmaka Maharaj, and she just wanted to meet him so much, and then finally wrote her letter to him, which was brought by a Brahmana, and has very wonderfully described. Krishna received that letter, made up his mind to rescue the princess and make her his mind. So Rukmini at that time was, as far as I remember, around 15 years old, and a budding youth. Oh, so beautiful. And she was, it was her marriage day when finally Krishna kidnaps him. Sometimes Krishna waits. kidnapped her. She just came out of the Durgaman Mandir, where she had offered some offerings and asked for some blessings. And it is described when Krishna, when Rukmini moved out of the temple, there was a great assembly of mighty warriors on their war elephants and horses. You know, they were there. And then she looked amongst them with unsteady eyes. And finally, she saw Krishna on the chariot. That person she had meditated from her childhood onwards, that person she longed to meet, had come on the chariot. And she felt totally excited when she saw that lonely chariot of the Lord just moving very slowly towards her, right in front of all the admiring princesses and kings. And when he very slowly, very pronounced, everyone should see, was able to see what he did. It was not just a quick action thing where no one knows what happens. No, no, he made it very sure. I have come to take my devotee. And he gallantly led her on his chariot. Then he looked around, and he took her like a lion takes his prey away from the jackals. So that was the desired meeting. Or you can, another Purvaraga situation is described in the 10th canto, where the residents of Mathura had heard so much of Krishna that they, but they had not yet seen him, and they longed to see them, to see him. So they all sat in that huge assembly, a huge arena, which was built by King Kamsa as for the entertainment of the town. You know, there was a wrestling championship. It was announced like this, that this would take place. We all know the plan of Kamsa, and we don't want to speak about it. But at this stage, we will hear it in another time. But they all knew Krishna was invited with Balaram to also show. They thought he will show some village wrestling from Vrindavan style, you know. So they all were looking forward to see Lord Krishna. Then they heard some commotion before one of the gates. Krishna was wrestling with the war elephant Kulvalayapida, who makes with every step the earth shake. That was his name, and that war elephant was posted there to kill him. But Krishna just effortlessly killed him, and then the doors flung open, the doors, you know, of the lower entrance, you know. And, you know, and Krishna Balaram just moved into the arena of Mathura. It is described, an effulgence washed through the ranks and files of the Mathura Vasis, who now saw Krishna for the very first time. And how did he look? He looked beautiful. He had an elephant tusk over his shoulder. Very extraordinary. And he was sprinkled with drops of perspiration, which were white on his darkish colored body. And, you know, everyone just showed Krishna. They started to talk about Krishna. It became a wild buzzing in the arena. That's him. He has killed Putana. He has pulled down the two mighty Arjuna trees. And do you know what? No, said the other person. Tell me. I cannot tire to hear about Krishna. Fell for 7 days. What did he do for 7 days? For seven long days and nights, he carried the Govardhan Hill. Wow. You mean that hill which sometimes shades our town because it's so huge? Exactly that hill he carried alone with his pinky of the right hand. Pinky, I don't know. Pinky is this? Pinky. Pinky. So that's, they wanted to meet him. They had heard that he had come into their town, and the day previously to entering the arena, he had broken the sacrificial bow. They had heard it, but now they were just eager to see him, and it is described with their eyes became like cups as they drank in the beauty of Krishna. That's Purvaraga and its fulfillment. So this type of separation, we can certainly feel. We are informed by a pure devotee, by Srila Prabhupada, about Krishna, and we are informed about the Shastras. And now we want to meet. We want to meet. I know in Hamburg, my generation had heard about the Beatles. Beatles this, Beatles that. Beatles this, Beatles that. And they all, then the Beatles came to the Ernst Merck Halle. It's a special hall. And my whole school class went. everyone went to see the Beatles. And when they finally came on the stage, they were just shouting. And the girl from the neighboring table, you know, school table, we sit here, and I was sitting with my friend Jens there on the other side. But the girl from the neighboring table, Anke was her name, fainted when she saw with her own eyes. I did not come because I was a Stones fan, and Stones fan don't go. They don't go, you know. We had some dignity to. We would not go into the sentimentality. We were on the other side. There were only two bands at that time. I had some dignity. But, you know, I'm wanting to, they had heard, Anke had only heard about the Beatles. But then finally, Anke saw. And we had the same thing, Dulal Chandra. When we first went from Europe, it was after Perestroika, to the behind the Iron Curtain. We had a band called Gauranga Bhajan Band. Ooh, these were the days, my friends. And we went there. And I remember when we came on the stage, there was just only noise. And 33 people fainted. 33 people fainted. They had to carry them out because they had heard, and now they were so excited. The Hare Krishna devotees, and they chant, and they have these amazing hair for cuts, and you know, and they do arati. What's an arati? Well, you don't know what's an arati. You know, we have heard from the secret information that it is worshipping with light and so on. And then they fainted from excitement. So this is, we also hear through the aid of the Shastra and the devotees, pure devotees, I'm referring now to Srila Prabhupada, we hear, and some excitement should come. Wow, you're Krishna. Oh, Krishna. Oh, I have heard this, I have heard that. Yeah, this flute, I've heard so much from the flute, about the flute. I yearn to make this experience. And so, yeah. Hare Krishna. That's why we need to really, we heard about this in the morning, we really need to study about the from Krishna, about the Bhagavatam, where there's good and reliable and first-class information. And we have a surprise. This evening, Devi Yambara will recite verses from the Bhagavatam, and we will hear with our own ears all information about Krishna. We will hear this evening. Yeah, Purusha. This is all what I remember at the moment. Getting a little old. 56 years. Little shy of 60, I'm. Yeah. Rukmini, you have now. We have to. I first saw. No. Our Mataji, please speak.
Oh, I was just
going to
say the fourth separation.
Oh yeah, She wants to know the fourth separation. I don't know. You know. Good.
Is when Radha and Krishna are together, and that's the pastime that's related to Prem Sarovar. When Madhu Mangal comes and said, "I've chased the Madhu," they're together, but they're feeling separation. Just Maharaja comment, I was thinking about poor Virag, and you were talking about the Beatles, and I was thinking about Srila Prabhupada. how devotees who had never seen him but had heard so much about him,
yeah.
when he would come to their city or they would go to the airport to greet him, and all the different emotions they experienced, crying and just amazed. And I was thinking all these emotions, all these separations could be applied to Srila Prabhupada.
Yeah.
The poor Virag, and when Prabhupada would be in the same temple, the city, and then he would leave, and how devotees felt.
Certainly.
And I was thinking about you were saying, Rukmini Mataji was asking about the different conflicting emotions. And I was thinking when we study the songs of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Sharanagati or Gitavali, we actually see like two broad categories of hankering and lamentation. And then there are subdivisions within that, but basically it's hankering, the siddhi lalasa, and then the lamentation, whatever the divisions might be, whether we're not qualified or...
But there is also, if you study the work Sharanagati, there's now feeling very satisfied to be protected by you. Oh Lord, you make the universe move, and so on. I'm very, very sure, I want to really say, in our movement, we very, very much stress these feelings. Oh, wretchedness. Oh, lamentation. Oh, this. We need to balance that. The teachings are very comprehensive. There's also a feeling of ulasa. It's necessary. And you must know, when you only stay in the hankering and lamentation mood, it can be also psychologically induced, your hankering and lamenting. Like I'm at this moment very, very restless because I never get good prasadam. I always have to eat this terrible, boring diet and so on. And I'm at the moment at the end of my nerves. And Gaura Hari is so strict with me. And when I even look in the direction of the cake, he already says it's not good for you. And you know it, control your senses, you know. And then with my depression, because I'm so absolutely depressed, it may reflect in my chanting, and I may think I'm an exalted chanter, but I'm really only a lusty tongue, you know. So I think let us be critical of our limitation, you know, maybe not so spiritual and not therefore so congenial. Ulasa, joy is necessary. Be happy, you're a devotee. I want to always balance, you know, when you're too joyful, I would say lament that you're fallen. But we need to have both things always there. There was once a teacher, and one disciple said to him, sometimes you say left and then you say right. What is it now, left or right? When you're too much right, I say left. When you're too much left, I say right. You must go in a balanced way. In other words, joyfulness is also good. Prabhupada would say, a devotee is not morose. He's happy, you know. He would say, Brahma Bhuta Prasanati, na sochati na kangshati, samasaveshu bhuteshu, mad bhaktim labhate varam, prasanatma, happy. I think there's reason to be happy and ulasa. I'm now sitting in the japa retreat. After millions of births, I'm sitting with serious chanters and we are somehow sincerely doing some reform work on our japa. No? Good reason. Very nice song in Sharanagati about protection of the Lord, guardian, the guardianship of the Lord. My Lord, now I'm under your care. I have no worries. The Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains like this. I'm like the cows which you herded in Vrindavan, who are under your sublime care. I'm like those cows. You are the guardian of the cows. You are the Bhakta Vatsala, the friend of your devotees. I feel sublimely happy. All misery has gone away. See, the thing is, spiritual life moves in paradoxes because you can't explain the spiritual dimension in a just one dimensional way. It needs several approaches to understand everything nicely. And I think a little joyfulness in chanting is good for us. That's why I make stay on the point. A little joyfulness is good. We need a little joyfulness in our movement. Hare Krishna. Rukmini, now is your well-preserved question, time of your well-preserved question.
One question is, you said that there's a work that describes the 10 moods of prayer.
What's yeah, that? It is one book. It's called Radha Krishna Nectar, and it's a compilation of many things. And in that book, it is published by Nectar Books. The publisher is Vandasharat Sutta Prabhu. There are 10 different types of prayers, the moods. We know, I can tell you, 3 moods. Sampratanatmika is one mood, where a devotee submits his mind, body, and everything to the Lord. Such a devotee would pray, O my Lord, as the minds of young boys and girls remain attached to one another, please let my mind be attached to you. In the same spontaneous way as a young boy feels attachment to a girl and vice versa, I want to be attached to you. That's Sampratanatmika, where you really submit yourself, just like the young people are submitted to each other. No? Then there's Dainya Bodhika, or making known one's insignificance and worthlessness. O Purushottam, the devotee will pray, in this world there is no sinner and offender like me. Even though you are an ocean of causeless mercy, I am ashamed even to request you to forgive my offenses. What more shall I say? I better be silent. I'm so useless. And then Lala Samayi. That is another category. An intense yearning for the personal service of the Lord. The devotee would would pray a prayer like this. O Pundarikaksha, lotus-eyed Lord, when upon the bank of the Yamuna, with eyes brimming with tears of ecstasy and a voice choked up with divine spiritual emotion, you know, he's crying and emotions are choking his word, when will I chant your holy names and dance like a madman. So these are 3 very prominent moods. Submission, making known one's own insignificance and worthlessness, and intense yearning for service of the Lord. They are mentioned by Rupa Goswami in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. But then there are 7 other sub-moods within this. Prayers. So as we chant, we can actually go through, and we will naturally go through these. No? Now, Rukminiji, I'm looking at the clock, and I had the devotees had come to me and said, please, Maharaj, be on time, and I have to do this. There are already two devotees looking with fierce eyes at me. So we can, if you can store your question in the refrigerator and then it's fresh tomorrow, then we can look at it tomorrow again. Let me turn the microphone over to Yagya Purusha Prabhu, who is our facilitator for this afternoon session and has... Surprise, surprise.
Surprise. This will be a dessert. You're not serving dessert for dinner.
A dessert, acha. So we
that you can also have.
That I can also have, yeah. Good. Thank you very much for attending this session. All see you this evening, and really I must tell you, you know, I should invite all of you to sometimes stand here and see you when you chant. It's really a wonderful experience for me to see and hear the sound vibration, which is not lip deep but heart deep as you chant. It's really nice. So I wish you a nice pause, and I see you at 7 o'clock. It would be nice if we constantly improve our punctuality, especially I'm not going anywhere, so I will be here. Yes, Hare Krishna.